Good morning. Just a couple of announcements that Corey had missed. Rest and Renewal Weekend for the ladies, May 24th to 25th. And if you bring any of the canned goods for the food bank, if you can have them here by Tuesday of next week, April 23rd, we'll be filling all the shelves on that day. Wasn't sure if I was going to share this or not, but I'm going to try. I mentioned to Colette, I'm not sure I'll get through this, but a fellow at Pickleball has been asking me for 5-6 months when I would show up, how's Dad? And this last Wednesday morning, as we were walking into Pickleball, one of the ladies asked me how Dad was. Well, he had passed away on Tuesday. So I explained to her, that was okay. I never thought to tell the other fella. Glenn was playing with him and mentioned to him that Dad had passed away. As I was leaving, he calls out my name and he comes over to me, and I could tell that he was really choked up. He couldn't say a word. I just put my arm around him and just said thanks. For not saying a word, he said so much. I know us men, we're not supposed to get choked up. That's wrong. That's foolish. It's okay. I find the older I get, the easier I get choked up. I would have thought it was going to be the other way around. But anyhow, don't be afraid to show some emotion sometimes, especially us men. Sometimes we think we got to be robots. You don't have to be. I am pleased to have the opportunity to give another lesson. While Colette and I were gone, I spoke, I think it was 4 times out in BC. And I kind of reused some of the lessons that I use here, but I always redo them also. They're always fresh. And this lesson here, I borrowed some of the thoughts from a website that I go from time to time. But this is basically all from a reading out of Psalms that I've been doing. And then Corey asked me throughout the week if I was going along with the topics that were listed out for the different lessons. I hadn't seen that. So you're kind of getting a double header here today. The first part of the lesson that I wanted to do is still going to be exactly what I was planning to do, and it's going to be a little shortened down from where the lesson was going to go. But it fit in so nicely, the thoughts that were already planned, and I think it's very nice that Corey has done up these lesson titles or these lesson ideas and some scriptures, and it all fit in so nicely. So yes, I am going to do it, Corey. Many of us are dealing with, or many of you are dealing with, problems all the time. There always seems to be something that comes up. Some difficulty. Life is full of trouble sometimes. And that's just part of the way life is. Over the last little while, I've been reading through the Psalms. And I came to Psalms 111. And I found a real nugget in there. I want to read you the psalm, then I'll share that little nugget. Psalm 111. Praise the Lord. I will extol the Lord with all my heart in the council of the upright and in the assembly. Great are the works of the Lord. They are pondered by all who delight in them. Glorious and majestic are his deeds, and his righteousness endures forever. He has caused his wonders to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and compassionate. He provides food for those who fear him. He remembers his covenant forever. He has shown his people the power of his works, giving them the lands of other nations. The works of his hands are faithful and just. All his precepts are trustworthy. They are established forever and ever, enacted in faithfulness and uprightness. He provided redemption for his people. He ordained his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All who follow his precepts have good understanding. To him belongs eternal praise. And verse 2 is what I want you to really pay attention to. Great are the works of the Lord. They are pondered by all who delight in them. How often do you look at the works of the Lord? Are you a waterfall type person or a calm lake type person? Clint and I often go hiking to waterfalls. There's 4 falls in particular that we like to go to. There's Upper Falls, Lower Falls are the same place. The other one, Upper Falls, Lower Falls. And then there's the 5th one that we've gone to over the years when we're out in BC. And these falls are amazing. The water is always going. Like, what a waste of water. It's just amazing. And as the snow melts off the top of the mountains, and this spring was very, very early. So we're at the One Falls, and it was way higher, way more volume than normal. Then we went back a couple weeks later, and it was kind of what is the normal. I've gotten in the habit when I'm at the lower falls of the One that I actually phone some of you from there. And we've had conversations over the years while I'm standing at the lower falls. And I get there and I kind of think of, oh yeah, I'm going to phone so-and-so. So I take my phone out and phone. As we were driving home this year, we were just getting to the Shuswap Lake. That's right by Salmon Arm. We were still west of Salmon Arm, driving the Trans-Canada Highway. And you look over to the side, and here is this perfectly calm Shuswap Lake. And the mountain in behind it. And the reflection of the same mountain, as deep as you can imagine, into the water. And I thought, wow, that's absolutely gorgeous. Couldn't stop. I just thought, well, that would be wonderful to take a picture of that. And I would have loved to have had it up on the wall here. But with the traffic buzzing by you, traffic coming behind you, there was no turnout. So just gave it up. So are you a waterfall person? Or are you a calm lake with mountain in the background sort of person? I want to spend a few minutes looking at 3 W's. I'm kind of wired like Corey. I was spent so much time with Hugh Gannon that I do usually 3 letters of the same, or ABC, or 3 in a row. God's world, God's word, and God's way. We're going to look at very briefly. First, his world. When you stop and look at how the world around us operates, it's just absolutely amazing. This last week, there was a solar eclipse. I don't know how to do the math. I'm good at math, but I've never really looked at it. I don't know how to do the math to know how to figure out where the next solar eclipse will be best seen from or when it'll happen. But people that know how to do the math can determine right to the spot what's the best one to you get the best view from and what time it's going to start, right to the minute, probably right to the second. So those people are pretty smart, right? But who put it all in motion? Why does the math work? Because God made the universe. And these things all go in their sequence. Just look at the wonders that God made. By the way, some of them got a spoiled view. A thing called a cloud makes a difference when it comes to a solar eclipse. But they still knew exactly where it would be happening. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Man, that's a powerful sentence. Let that ponder into you for a minute. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. One simple little sentence and says so much. Psalm 19, verses 1 and 2. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they reveal knowledge. How often do you look up at a starry night and wonder how far do they keep on going? Can you see the end of them? It's just absolutely amazing. It's nice to not have street lights around. That's where being out in the farm is a bonus. You just get these, just an absolutely spectacular light show just by looking up. Have you ever sat and watched a lightning storm? And does your house ever shake with the thunder? Sometimes it's a little bit scary because it's on, oh, that was really close. But it gives us a glimpse of this God that created the heavens and the earth. Romans 1:20. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that the people are without excuse. You get that? We have no excuse not to understand that there is a designer that made this world. Not just a designer, but God. No excuse, it says. Has nature gotten to be so commonplace now to us that we don't even notice it? How many noticed robins back this week? Okay, good. By the way, when we were in Parksville, they were always there. But, sideline. I have to wonder if the very same robins come back to the very same yard. I think they do. They reuse the same nesting area in our back balcony. This last week, we probably had about 15, 20 robins around. And they're hopping around. And they're there every morning. Then they're gone. Next morning, they're back again. And soon they're going to be filling the nest with eggs. And it just keeps on going. I was reading about birds a little bit. And they can recognize a tree in a forest and know what limb they had put the previous nest on. I can't do that. I can walk through a forest with a trail and get lost. That's where I have to kind of rely on Colette when we go hiking. I can easily get lost in some of the trails that we go on. But a bird can fly. And from up there, these trees have to all look alike. I'm sorry, but there's no way they can figure that out. But they can. There has to be a designer that did all this. We expect nature to just keep on going. We expect to get snow in the winter, mosquitoes in the summer. That's just nature. But has it gotten so commonplace now that we forget about the Creator? I hope not. Psalm 111 and verse 4, that same psalm that I read. He has caused his wonders to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and compassionate. The second W, word. First from the Psalm 111, verse 8. They are established forever and ever, enacted in faithfulness and uprightness. Now I want to read Psalm 19, 7 through 11. The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The decrees of the Lord are firm, and all of them are righteous. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the honeycomb. By them your servant is warned, in keeping them, there is great reward. And John 6:63, the Spirit gives life, the flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you, they are full of the Spirit and life. You've got to wonder, how much value do people put on God's word or God? In the culture that we live in, do people really understand that God is the creator? For the most part, probably not. Some may. Do people see the word as something that was inspired? How do people grasp who God is? Do they realize that the God that led the children out of Egypt is the same God that you can pray to? Do we grasp that? I think we do. Third, his way. Same Psalm, Psalm 111, this is verse 10 now. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All who follow his precepts have good understanding. To him belongs eternal praise. God says he's going to send his son back. Any reason to doubt that? God has done everything that he says he's going to do. Why would that be any different? I want you to listen to the words of How Great Thou Art. O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the works thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. When through the woods and forest glades I wander, and hear the birds sing sweetly in the trees, when I look down from lofty mountain grandeur and hear the brook and feel the gentle breeze. And when I think that God, his son not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in. That on the cross, my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. The words of this hymn are powerful. We've heard them many times. In fact, we've heard lessons very similar to this many times. Now I'm going to change gears. How do we get this message out to people who haven't heard it, that don't know there's a God? We are living in a time that people seem to be going off on different paths, different tangents. That's probably not much more than throughout history. We just seem to be able to spread things around easier and faster. We seem to be able to get a lot of information a lot quicker. Have you ever heard someone say that they wouldn't want to bring a child into such a messed up world? There's been many articles written on this exact theme. And a lot of the ones that are written were written from 1900 to 1920. If you want to get real nosy and start searching things out. There's been some few modern ones. But there was 20 years in particular in the history of North America and Europe combined that there was a lot of articles written about not bringing a child into the world because the world was so messed up so evil that it would be wrong to bring a child into the world. Just think for a minute now, if everybody decided to stop having children in 1910, how many people in the room would have been here? That's simple math, none of us. Being afraid of the world is not the wisest way to go. Yes, there's messed up people, there's messed up things, always has been. You read back through the Old Testament, there was many, many things messed up in the world. People kept having children, and for centuries, and they grow up in a messed up world. I should have stayed with my notes and I would know where I'm at. We are living in a strange time, but there's always been difficulties. We deal with them. Maybe they make us stronger. Maybe we don't know how to really handle them. But having God on our side makes it a lot more comfortable to deal with them. What is your role in this messed up culture or world? Listen closely to Romans 12, 17 through 21. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. And doing this, you'll heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. I want to read you the story that's often called the Good Samaritan. It's in Luke 10, 25 through 37. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What is written in the law, he replied. How do you read it? He answered. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. You have answered correctly, Jesus replied. Do this and you will live. But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? In reply, Jesus said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and when I return, I will reimburse you for the extra expense you may have. Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? The expert in the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. Jesus told him, go and do likewise. I wonder if the two that passed by him really understood why they weren't supposed to stop and help this person. It seems to me to be an awful lot of cultural things going on. Of course, that's totally different today. We would never base anything on culture, looks, or whatever. But of all people to stop and help him, a Samaritan, the lowest of the low in this priest's eye, in the Levite's eye. In today's world, we still get mixed up in many, many cultural things. I'm sure they had been told why you don't have anything to do with whatever. whoever, them, those people. You get what I'm saying? Don't let cultural things influence you that way. How does it make any sense to hate somebody just because they're bald? Have you heard anybody say, oh, the good old days? I remember both my grandpas talking about the good old days. My one grandpa farmed through the 30s, never had a crop failure. One year he planted a bushel and an acre of wheat, and that's what he harvested. That's a failure. I'm sorry. But in his mind, he got back what he put in, didn't have a failure. My other grandpa left England, came over here for a better life, ended up standing in soup lines. And they both spoke of the good old days. Yeah, they had difficulties. They had struggles. But they also dealt with them. And they still had family around them. They still had some good times. How many of us are going to be looking at these times now as the good old days, as we're telling stories to grandchildren or great-grandchildren or whatever you are? Talk about the good old days, and they're going to say, oh, sounds like it was an awful time. I can't imagine having to stand in a soup line to get food for your family. We didn't have a whole lot when we were growing up. I didn't realize that we were all that different, and we probably weren't from a lot. But we always managed. And when I look back at how we grew up, they were the good old days. Matthew 5 and 9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. I asked at the start, are you a waterfall person or a calm lake person? It's actually fine to enjoy both parts of nature. You can be both. Some in today's culture would suggest that if you are a waterfall person, you should almost dislike or hate the calm lake person. That seems almost foolish, but that's just about as foolish as some of the lines that people are drawing and they're trying to get others to live by. And keep in mind that some of the information that's out there may be true. Think that through for a second. Again, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. We still have to be a light and teach. We need to search out ways to share ourselves with others. We know God, so let's share him. God is still God in good and bad times. Then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art.